Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Noah says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Maz.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger Maserati here on a Thursday in Boston. We got Felger here in the Felger chair, the A-hole chair, Maz in the Maz chair, Big Jim Murray in our update studio, Stuart and Lanny behind the glass, day two NFL free agency. You ready to discuss, Maz?
Could you? Yeah.
Okay, so are you starting to get concerned, annoyed?
Impatient and pissed.
Okay, good, Murray. Go ahead. Yeah, impatient and pissed with your team.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go. I'm through the buffer of... Well, they did just win the Super Bowl, and I mostly thought that team sucked last year, and they always get it right. You're going to add a right wide receiver, a real wide receiver, because Golden Tate's still out there. You have a 42-year-old quarterback, and as of right now, your wide receiver core looks like Julian Edelman. Yay, you bring Philip Dorsett back for one more year. Fine. And Philip Berrios? Braxton Berrios? Whatever the hell his name is?
Honey Nut
Berrios?
Braxton.
Who was on IR all last year? Who else? Who else are you going to bring in? Because if I'm Rob Gronkowski, I look at this right now and say, it's not about money. Are you going to do anything? Are you going to add other weapons? Because the word is that he wanted to have less of a workload, right? Well, who's this tight end they brought in? I don't even want to know his name. Some bottom of the roster guy from Denver? Please do something. Let's not go to the bottom of the barrel here. Let's not go to bargain basement costs. Let's bring in a real player like Golden Tate, please. He's out there. You were in on Adam Humphries, so you obviously wanted to do something. There's some reports out there that said they offered him more money than Tennessee did, but the kid stayed to his word. He's going to Nashville. Good for him. Do something. Not these bargain basement players that I keep reading that they're bringing in. I don't want to know their names. I don't care. I want a real player. I want a real wide receiver.
Impatient and pissed.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm with Murray. Because, again, we all know what the need is at that position. They don't have many guys there. And in terms of proven commodities, what's left on the market? I mean, there's a few guys. Like, there's not a lot there, and they may get one of those guys. Let's see. I have my concerns about Randall Cobb because I just feel like he's taking a beating, and I don't know how much there is left there. So I like Randall Cobb, or I have liked Randall Cobb, but I wonder how much there is. Crabtree I like. He's out there, and Tate. Other than those three guys, in terms of relatively known commodities, I don't think there's anything out there.
No, and the other thing that pisses me off about Humphries, and I'm sure I'm reading too much into this, but whatever. This is what we do. Were they a day late because Party Bill was on the beach? Was that why that phone call came in late? Like, oh, no, we wanted him. Oh, yeah, let me make that phone call a day late.
That's another good one, Murray.
So you know what? But I'll tell you what. Take the Barbados thing out of it, although I prefer we leave it in, actually, for the balance of the show. But that aside, when you look at it and you say, so let me get this straight. You were bidding with Tennessee to get Adam Humphries. And then it got to a point where clearly they either came back to you and said, you haven't met the number. We get a better deal somewhere else.
That's not the word. The word is that the Pats came in late with a higher offer, and Humphries pretty much admitted this today.
But he had already agreed.
Right, he had already agreed with the Titans.
So, but this is what I'm saying.
It wasn't that the Pats were low. They were late, to Murray's point.
So this is what I'm saying, though, is that ultimately there's a reason he ultimately accepted Tennessee because they weren't there yet. Then all of a sudden he agrees with, like, they didn't come in at all before that?
I don't know the timing of all of it. I just know that the report was the Pats came in higher, and Humphreys said today that he already had a handshake with the Titans and he wasn't going to go back on it.
Yeah, see, I give Humphreys credit for that. And again, the whole sequence of that thing just bugs the crap out of me. Because the way I read it was that the Patriots were lower than the Titans, and then he accepted the Titans' offer, and then the Patriots came up.
Got it.
In which case I went, well, screw you. Like, if you're dinking around waiting until, and you didn't think the guy was honestly going to take the offer, that's your fault. What are you doing messing around for? If you were willing to go to 10, go to 10.
Do you think, or do you worry that the Patriots are being cavalier? And this is exactly how I feel about the Red Sox. We've talked about this with the Red Sox, where they said, hey, we didn't have a bullpen last year and we won. So we're not going to put together a bullpen this year because we won despite it last year. So we'll win despite it this year. In fact, we'll one-up it. And we'll take away the bullpen's best player. And we'll come back with the worst bullpen. Because we did it last year. We can do it again. Very cavalier attitude. Drink, the Patriots are doing the same thing with the receiver position.
Yes, a little bit. Yes.
You worry they're falling into that trap.
I do. Yeah, I think they're getting a little loose with it. Because, again, the thing that concerns me and is what's left on the market. That's what concerns me. Given their history of drafting and developing receivers, which is poor. We can all agree on that.
Yeah.
Can you realistically look at the draft and say they're going to get their answers there?
Well, so here was my thing that I'm trying to convince myself. So maybe I'm being premature with my anger. Then that they're going to end up using their first round pick on a wide receiver because there should be some towards the end of that first round. But then again, given the history of how they've drafted wide receivers, even when they've hit on a guy like Malcolm Mitchell, there's an injury history and he doesn't last. I don't feel great about it, but so is that their plan? They're just going to end up using their first-round pick for the first time on a wide receiver? Okay, I'd feel a little bit better. But there's guys out there. Golden Tate's a perfect fit. Go sign him.
Tom Curran writes on NBC Sports Boston pretty much that same theme. He says, being able to overcome a severe lack of pass-catching depth and talent once doesn't mean this team will be just fine, even if it doesn't make moves to give offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels something to threaten defenses with. Adding talented players and paying them market price is not a move for sucker teams who don't know what they're doing. It's how it's supposed to work. What a refreshing line that is, having to listen to the Patriots fans and media treat every team like an idiot for signing someone. Adding talented players and paying them market price is not a move for suckers who don't know what they're doing. It's how it's supposed to work. When you lay it out, the lack of attention, the wide receiver position that the Patriots have given it is almost laughable. He calls it laughable. He says, since the Patriots lost to the Eagles in Super Bowl 52, they've said goodbye to Brandon Cooks, Danny Amendola, Malcolm Mitchell, Kenny Britt. They've signed and said goodbye to Jordan Matthews and Eric Decker. They've signed and were forced to say maybe see you later to Josh Gordon. Underwhelming though it was, the rest of the 2018 wideout crew, Cordell Patterson, Chris Hogan, is either already gone, Patterson, or there aren't teams asking or taking the unrestricted free agents as in Hogan. Now it's Edelman, Dorsett, and Braxton Berrios. So he says that the lack of attention to receiver since that Eagles loss is almost laughable. Hard to argue. Hard to argue with that. And are they just being cavalier? They say, well, we did it last year. We can do it again. And maybe they're right. We'll see if the Sox are right with that bullpen. But it's the same sort of approach, I feel like. I also feel there's a little bit of an organizational shift going on. You know, we're going to win with defense and running the ball.
Right. More balance on offense.
So
right.
So fine. And that seemed to work. But you need. So what are they just going to. Team's going to. If they went into it like this, so you're just going to double Edelman. Gronk probably won't come back because he looks at the landscape. Is like, well, the hell with this. Or maybe I'll come back, you know, after week eight or whatever. So I don't know. You still need to have options for Brady. You can't just ground and pound. That can't be your offense. You need to at least set up play action and you need receivers for that.
You still have Tom Brady. He's still a top three.
Five, at least.
I don't care what number you put on it.
I mean,
he's still an elite top quarterback. Why would you? I mean, that's why I think the whole running the ball thing is just silly. It helped him last year, but my God, this is still the guy. Brady's still the guy.
Yeah, and the other thing is the only touchdown in the Super Bowl was the result of the passing game. I know Sony Michel ran it in ultimately.
No, he's the only one that could have done that.
But it was Edelman and Gronk that got you down there. That's what it was. The only touchdown drive of the game was largely done through the air. So I looked at, again, what worries me now is that there's just not much left. There's not much left. So how are you going to fix this? They're not going to make a trade, I don't think. Maybe they are. I shouldn't rule that out. But I sort of look at it and I say, Well, at this stage, like, now you have all these draft picks. You're going to trade them for a receiver now? Like, I don't love that option either. I'd rather them draft because the roster has gotten older.
I mean, you didn't fist pump and say woo-hoo when you saw Twitter light up with the fact that they were hosting Bruce Ellington and Maurice Harris today?
I don't even know who Maurice Harris is.
Nor should you.
And Duke Ellington I've heard of.
Okay. And I get it. They haven't actually signed any of these stiffs, but the fact that they're bringing them in, they're doing their due diligence, Murray. This is what they just go sign Golden Tate. Go sign Golden Tate. Here we are, what, day two officially, but free agency has been going on for a month, basically? Like, please, get another weapon for Tom Brady. Your wide receiver core outside of Edelman basically stinks. Philip Dorsett's a nice enough player. You need another weapon.
Curran says the Patriots have 4.45 million in cap space committed to the wide receiver position in 2019. That's the lowest in the NFL. The only players under contract at the position, along with Edelman and Dorsett, who was signed last night, are Gordon, suspended, and Slater, special teamer. Would Bill Belichick ever be this unmoved if the cupboard were bare in, say, the secondary or linebacker or anywhere on defense? Again, so ask that question, you know, would he leave a position so high and dry and neglected anywhere else on the team?
No. Maybe running back.
As he should.
Maybe running back.
As anyone would. As any smart team would. Anyway, Curran says the presumption is that Belichick has a plan. Maybe he does. If a signing doesn't seem imminent, it must be the draft or maybe a trade. That's the plan, right? Or it may just be the same plan as it was in 2018. Josh and Tom will figure it out. Hell, it worked before. Who's to second guess? I ask you, do you fear they're falling into that trap? We did it last year like this. We can do it again like this.
Yes, I do. And to me, this has nothing to do with the splash or anything of the like. And the Humphrey story in Tennessee, from Tampa to Tennessee, I find a little alarming.
So, I cut you off before. Was it reported that the Pats were in and then Tennessee up their offer, or did the Pats get in late?
So I'm going originally by what Rapoport had the day of.
Yeah, and you nailed it, that there was negotiating back and forth. He ultimately chose Tennessee, and that was it. And it sounded like the Patriots didn't come in as high as Tennessee. And now there's reports today that they offered as high as $10 million per season. So was that a day late? You know, like, oh, nope, the kid already had the handshake agreement, and kudos to him for actually, you know, being a man of his word, but that just sounded like they were too late if they came in with $10 million. Like, just say that day of when you're negotiating back and forth and you know Tennessee's in on them.
And that is a cavalier attitude if that's how it went down. Again, I'm just going by how I read it, okay? Because it started with the Patriots were interested and he went to Tennessee. So it felt to me like there was a little bit of a bidding war, or, you know, and the Patriots were at a number. He got more out of Tennessee and said, I'm going to take it. And the Patriots went, well, we got more. We got more. What are you doing? We'll give you more. And he says, too late. I already took it. I'm not going to back out of it now.
So you're implying, Jim, that Bill didn't have cell service on that raft in Barbados?
Oh, well, he's got to get that tan. He's got to, you know, he's Barbados Bill. He's got to be on the beach with his buxom blonde. Well, I got things to do here. It's the off season. Meanwhile, frantically, just people trying to call from the front office, going straight to voicemail. Hey, you've reached Bill. Leave your name and number. After the beep, I'll get back to you. Beep. Bill, we can get Adam Humphries. Where are you? Pick up the effing phone. Click.
Okay, how do you feel? Are you worried the Pats are being a little cavalier with their receiver position? That's the topic. I also want to get some information and some insight into the Patriots roster. And are they hamstrung by making moves, by the nature of their roster, i.e. their payroll? We're going to talk to Greg Bedard, get his thoughts on that. Sure. And the Patriots offseason so far. We'll do it right after these words.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline, ma.org, or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
If you get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
That's typical. Just like the big boy when he's in person during the season. We set up a time, 2:20. We give him to 2:21. We give him a minute. He's late. He's not ready. just like every Tuesday during the football season, he schlumps in here with his stuff schlepped all over the place at 1:59 or 2:05, not ready to go. It's like the same thing.
He's finishing up the Duncan go-tos.
It's unbelievable. Okay, so we'll get Bedard.
He had this at 10 a.m.
We gave it to him at 10 a.m.
Yeah, we did.
And he's not ready to go at 2.
Jimmy said he's got a busy signal. Who has a busy signal in 2019?
Right now, he's rifling through the papers on his clipboard.
I texted him 3 different numbers to call. Maybe this is him here.
Oh, there he is. He's on line 10. Bedard.
We have so few guests. I honestly forgot what it's called. Can you help me?
It's right there on your computer, on the sticker.
The Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Joined by Greg Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal. He joins us now. Greg, thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it. How would you describe or what's your leadoff thought on the Patriots so far in free agency?
Well, I mean, I just think that they're sort of in a position where they can't really be big spenders. I mean, they have a lot of holes to fill on the roster. I mean, including at kicker and punter, which haven't exactly been low-cost positions for them in the recent past, and they just don't have a whole lot of cap space.
So let me stop you. Right, you said they're in a position where they can't be big spenders. What do you mean by that? What position are they in?
Well, I mean, what do they have? Like $16 million against the cap, and they still have, what, about 30 spots? You know, I mean, there's the top 51 rule, but I mean, you know, they have a bunch of holes to fill in the roster, and they just, you know, they don't have a whole lot of cap money.
So, Greg, why can't they restructure Brady?
They can. My understanding from someone who would know is that they can't do it until August. They are bound by the one-year rule, according to this person. I thought they could get away with it because there wasn't really any new money in the deal, but apparently people in the organization are under the impression they can't do anything with Brady until the year is up, which is mid-August. And, you know, even then you're talking, I don't know, probably another $5 million.
Thank you.
But it's not huge.
You're not talking massive savings. So
no.
Brady can be restructured. He can lower that cap hit from 27, but it's not going to be much lower than 20 if they even get there. Okay, so they're in a cap crunch, and their quarterback, money-wise, is really affordable. How did that happen?
Well, stuff that we've talked about. I mean, basically the roster has gotten older. They have, you know, basically when you're talking, you know, veteran salaries, they pretty much lead the league in veteran salaries compared to other teams, you know, including you guys have read off. I had a stat the other day that if you just compared their roster to, say, the Rams, The Patriots had 38 guys making at least $1 million last year. The Rams had 23. You know, you could just say the average for those spots is like, you know, $1.5 million. You know, you're talking like $16 million. That's the difference between keeping a Trey Flowers and not. You know, and so, you know, to me, there's two ways to look at it. You know, to me, it is the recent misses in the draft the last 4 years where they don't really have a good young core. I mean, just compare it to in 2014 when they won the Super Bowl, they had the 10th youngest roster in the league. You know, they had a bunch of the core guys on defense, whether it was McCourty, Hightower, Jamie Collins. You can go through the list. They're all on rookie contracts. How many guys on defense are on rookie contracts right now that are, like, you know, key players? There aren't many of them.
Okay, so that's the question. That's you just sort of hit on it. The cap situation, which has not gotten nearly enough attention, I think. And, you know, and I'm going to suspend my feeling on the cap for now, because otherwise we can get bogged down in that old argument. Just, you know, pretending that the cap is real, and you obviously think that it is, they're not in a great situation.
No, and they weren't last year. I mean, you know, over at Boston Sports Journal, I mean, we have Miguel Banzan does the cap for us, and I told him in, like, I don't know, August, or I think it was October, you know, we could see this coming that, you know, remember when they restructured Stephon Gilmore and everybody was like, oh, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? It wasn't to make a move. It was because they needed another $3 million just to cover any incentives that might hit. They had to cover themselves in terms of cap obligations, you know. And so the end of the year, a lot of guys didn't hit. So I think they gained $3.7 million in cap space on Gilmore. They ended up rolling over $3 million, but they still needed that and change. They're still in the same position that they were, you know, a year ago. So, they can afford probably one high price, quote unquote, you know, sort of player here, but that's about it. I mean, you know, what are they going to do with Gostkowski? I mean, compared to what he made last year, he's still unsigned. If they bring him back on a little bit of a raise, all of a sudden you're talking, there's half your cap space right there.
Okay, so, but is their cap situation, the question is, by design or a result of poor drafting? And you just sort of hit on it. By design, there's some people who think that they're purposely going older because those guys, they like that veteran middle class, and you can coach those guys easier, and they're more known commodities. So they've made a conscious decision to get older and a little more expensive versus these rookie deals, that was a conscious choice. Or did they just draft poorly and that's what they were stuck with?
The latter. I mean, look, you know, has it worked out for them like, you know, it normally does every year? Yes. But look, you're telling me that they wouldn't have wanted Juwan Bentley as a starter at middle linebacker last year, you know, Dawson in the secondary, any of the number of guys that haven't worked out in recent years. You don't think they would have wanted those guys to hit and they could have gotten a little cheaper and saved money? Of course they would have. But they didn't work out, so this is the position that they're in. They've made it work, but, you know, there is a downside to all this, and we are seeing it now where they have had a cap crunch, you know, going on 2 years now.
Okay, so, Greg, that's the second time you've used the term cap crunch, okay? And, again, I admit I'm trying to put words in your mouth, but what it sounds like what you're telling me is they've mismanaged it, whether it be through the draft or the contracts, and sounds like more the draft. But dare I say that they at least have a foot in cap jail?
I wouldn't go that far. I mean,
call it work release.
It depends. They're
furloughed,
you know,
from cap jail.
Probation.
Like, yeah.
Cap probation.
Sort of. I mean, they are certainly in a territory that I don't know if they've ever been in. It had to have been a while if it has gotten to that point. I don't think, because they've been great against the cap, and I am a fan of the way they manage the cap. It's just the drafting in recent years has caught up. Now, you know, could a bunch of these rookies, whether it's Bentley or Dawson or, you know, all these guys, Isaiah Wynn, you know, if all these guys start to hit, plus they get a couple contributors from this year's draft class, all of a sudden they're going in the other direction. But up until this point, they haven't had much to show in recent drafts. I mean, basically going on, you know, the last two drafts, they haven't gotten much out of as of right now. You know, they had Joe Tooney in 2016. That's about it. And then you go back to 2015, which now everything's expiring, Brown, Flowers, Shaq Mason. You know, there is not that talented, you know, middle class coming up, sort of like that we saw in 2014.
Greg, quickly, last question. Jones raised this last night. I thought it was an excellent point. The managing of the Trey Flowers asset. If you don't want to sign him to that deal, fine. You could have franchised him and traded him on under the franchise tag, just like Kansas City did with D Ford, right? They franchised him. We're not intending to sign him to a long-term deal, but they franchised him and then traded him and got a second-round pick out of it. It feels like the Pats could have done the exact same thing with Trey Flowers, except could they not? Did they not have the cap space to hold that franchise tag while they did that?
Basically, yes. I mean, basically, it's I think it's a worse scenario than it was under Jimmy Garoppolo. I still think that they could have there are moves that they did make that they could have made to have the space to tag Jimmy and then trade him as soon as the new league year started, just like they did with Matt Cassel. I would say they would have been in a tougher position this year to get that done than they were with Jimmy.
Okay. Interesting conversation, Greg, big fella.
Very interesting.
No one else is talking about this, but, you know, to me, again, you know how I feel about the cap. I'd say it's more a money thing than cap, but either way, let's just split the baby and call it budget. That their budget, their books, their payroll is preventing them from doing things, that they've gotten themselves into a spot.
This blows me away.
With their payroll. Thanks for joining us, Greg. We appreciate it.
No problem.
Okay, see you, Greg. All right. Your calls, I promise, right to them after Murray's update.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.
You're listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Brady takes the snap. Back three steps. He pumps. He looks long. He throws it down the left side for Dorsett. Yes. And he makes the catch in the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
What did I just tell you? You forget about him. And that's what this team's about. Championship. Forget about him. He catches anything you throw in his direction.
Speaking of Philip Dorsett, big free agent signing so far for the Patriots. How do you feel about that? You want to follow up on Bedard real quick, Ness?
I do, because I think a lot of this goes back to the draft 2 years ago, and that's 2017. And when Bedard, I never thought of it in the terms that Greg Bedard laid out for us, which is that in his terms, the Patriots are feeling a quote-unquote cap crunch. Or as you would say, a budget issue. Okay, there's an issue there. They've got nothing really from that draft a couple of years ago. That was the moment Bill traded everything. Like, you know, their first pick wasn't until the third round. It was Derek Rivers. Like, I look at that, and when you really examine their drafts from the last few years, Bedard's right. There's like this is a major problem. If they can't bring in players because they've had to spend on veteran guys and they don't have the money, whether they're cap dollars or real dollars. I mean, who do you blame for that? Like, I find that to be mind-boggling that the masters of money could be in a position where all of a sudden they're hamstrung because they don't have financial flexibility.
To not even maximize the asset on Trey Flowers, who they could have franchised and traded. You don't want to pay him 5 years and $90 million? I sort of get that. I would have, but you don't want to. Understood. Franchise him. Don't pay him a dime. All that is a cap hold for a couple weeks, then you trade him. But they couldn't even create the room for the cap hold. Or they didn't have it. So they got nothing out of it. Or they will only get a you know, high fourth, late third rounder on that comp pick. Kansas City franchised Dee Ford and got a second from San Francisco. It could be a bad team. So you weren't even really able to maximize that asset. So your thoughts on that and the receiver situation. Are they being a little cavalier with the receiver situation? Jerry in Rhode Island, lead us off today.
Hey, how's it going? First of all, I think the cap is just all crap. You can do things. There's things you can do. Hightower says he doesn't want to restructure his contract. Cut him.
Isn't this
great?
Hold on just 1 second. That's just too rich for me. I've been saying for years the cap is freaking useless, and the Patriot fan calls me and says, what are you talking about? It's the backbone of everything that they do. It's why they're smarter than everyone. It's why they win championships. But as soon as they run into cap trouble, what does the Patriots fan say? That's not really
cap's crap.
It doesn't count. That is too rich even for me.
But this is what I say, that it's not about – are you still there?
Yes, no. Please. Go ahead.
All right. It's not about that. What it is as Brady gets older, you've got to look what happened when Brady got into the NFL in the first place. It was all defensive-based because Brady couldn't score that many points. He was learning. Well, now that he's getting older, his things are diminishing, and he's a great quarterback still. I understand that. But you're going to focus more on the defense, and I think that's what Bill's doing. You strangle the other teams. Therefore, you don't have to score the 40, the 35 points. Instead, you can score 27.
Or 13 in the Super Bowl. I would hate to have to live that way. Winning with 13 points every day.
Well, it's a different league now. It's harder to play defense.
But if they want to go in that direction, fine. I mean, I guess. I still think Brady's still too good to treat it that way. Brady's better now than he was in 2001. Much better now than he was in 2001.
And you're not going to be able to do that to every single team in the league, no matter how good your defense is playing. It's just not going to happen. Like, you obviously can't do it to Kansas City. Granted, they beat him in the AFC Championship game, but in those two games combined, what'd they give up, over 80 points to him? Like, you just can't simply win on defense in the league anymore.
Well, and I'll tell you the other thing, too, because he brought it up.
But what are they going to really do on defense? I mean, if you're saying they're building the defense, fine. What? I mean, they've really just treaded water here so far on defense. They haven't done anything to improve the defense.
No.
So all they've done is getting older.
Well, and the other thing I wonder about is now that we're factoring in this cap crunch that they're having, however, again, call it whatever you want. But the bottom line is, what if Devin McCourty said no to a restructure? What if Dante Hightower said no to a restructure? What are their options? They have none. They got nobody that can replace these guys. So I'm now wondering whether or not maybe they did go to these guys, as the caller suggested, Hightower, and ask them to take pay cuts.
Well, Hightower's his representatives already said he ain't doing it.
Okay, and maybe they're all looking at it going, those days are over. Cut us.
That would be called something on this show. What would that be? Oh, a Palace Q.
Pete in Delaware. Never give up on that, Murray. Pete in Delaware, what do you got?
Hey, guys. Hey, so Ian Rappaport was saying that the Patriots and the Steelers were the main two teams interested in Golden Tate, and neither one of them had much cap space. But if I'm Golden Tate and I see all the money that's been spent with the wide receivers, and I also see that New England was willing to spend that kind of money on Adam Humphries, I don't think he's going to want less than that. I don't know how much more he wants or whatever, but I think it's the Golden Tate things. He'd be a great Patriot fit, but it seems like this is going to be complicated.
Well, it's not complicated. It's going to be expensive. If those sort of second-tier slot options, Humphries and Crowder in New York and even Beasley in Buffalo are between $7 and $9 million, Tate is 10-plus easy, if not 12 or 13.
Definitely.
So that's what his number is. I'm still holding out hope because the Tate thing has been quiet. That Ian Rappaport reports, really the first rumor I've heard on Tate the whole time. So the longer it goes and the less you sort of hear the rumbling, the more I think the Pats are in it. So I'm still going to hold out hope on that one. But geez, if Humphries was 9-10, Tate's going to be more, much more.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, and the other part of that, again, that factors in for me, how much more do you have to give Edelman? You were willing to throw $10 million at Adam Humphries. You're going to go back to Jules and say your base salary's two. Thanks for playing. Like, if I'm Edelman right now, I'm looking at them going, and he won't hold out. Okay, he won't. I don't think. But if I'm Edelman, I'm looking at them going, are you guys serious? I just won the Super Bowl for you, for crying out loud. I won the freaking Super Bowl for you. I do everything you ask. I have never won. I've been underpaid my whole time here. You will only give Adam Humphries 10, and you're going to make me play for two? No shot.
Where were you the first 4 weeks? Hello? Hello, Julian?
See, Bedard's got me all fired up now.
I like it.
Because I never considered this. And then the more they think about it, I think he's right. Like, if they don't have the money, oh, my gosh. That's inexcusable.
Are they neglecting the receiver position, and do they have money problems? Today's topics, your thoughts right after this.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Josh Gordon is no longer a New England Patriot. There was a program in place. He has obviously, for the last 5 years, struggled to stay in football, a marvelously talented young man. He is gone, and I would imagine not only gone from the Patriots, gone from the NFL, which is a bummer. This ends New England's Super Bowl threat. It's over. It is officially over.
You know, it's obviously an unfortunate situation. Personally, I wish him the very best, as we all do, on this team. You know, he's made a statement. The organization's made a statement. The league's made a statement. I've spoken at him at length over the last 3 months, and so I don't really have anything at this point to add to that. It's a private matter. Hope that he's able to deal with it successfully.
You know, we all wish him the best. I think that's kind of how we all feel. We want him to do what's right for him.
He's a great teammate. Worked his butt off while he was here, so I think for us as players, we wish him the best personally. Football comes and goes. We're all going to compete. We're all going to work hard as far as our jobs playing football. You know, we're used to, I guess, adversity when it comes to just playing football. Lose a guy injury, guy can't play in a game, whatever that is. But, you know, I think life comes before all of that. So I think we wish him the best.
Okay, starting outside receivers right now, Josh Gordon, if he's reinstated. You don't even know that. And Philip Dorsett, who I like, actually. I wish I'd throw him the ball more.
But is he really a one-on-one guy that can beat coverage on the outside?
No, he's a third or fourth receiver.
Right. So I'm glad he's back, but they still need someone.
Yes, but I'm telling you, I think that if Brady fed him more, Dorsett would be okay. Just in his role. Just get open short, and you know he's not a yard after the catch guy. He's not a big physical guy, but I like his feet. I like his hands.
Agreed. He knows the offense. He's made some clutch catches.
Have him just work outside the numbers and you know catch little eight-yard hitches on the sidelines. That's all I need from him, except Brady never goes to him. So, I mean, like, I'm fine with that on as the fourth receiver, but you just got to wonder, why are they leaving that position so high and dry and so cavalier about that position? Do they not have the money? Can they not afford it, whether it's cap dollars or real dollars, whatever you believe? It's what Bedard thinks. Or is it a focus and a shift away from Brady in the passing game, and now we're going to win with defense and running the ball? Which, again, they did it last year. I'll give them credit, but Brady's still a top five, top three, top two, name it, quarterback.
So maybe Bill just doesn't care about that.
Oh, I mean, I think that's silly. I mean, he's thrown for 300, 400 yards of the first two playoff games, and the bulk of the season, it's the passing game. I'm sorry, it still is. So you tell me, can they not afford it because they've mismanaged the books or they've blown the draft, or they're just going away from Brady because that's an organizational decision?
I mean, you want to tell me the offense is 50-50, fine, but with no receivers, how are you going to be 50-50? They have no receivers. None. Zero.
I'm with you.
I mean, and again, and the one they do have, to me, if I were him, I'd hold out. He won't, but I would. He is so grossly underpaid. It's embarrassing.
And I wonder if that's what Gronkowski's doing. I think he wants to play. I think he's willing to play. I don't think he likes his contract. So that's where they are with the tight end, too, which we'll get to coming up. Ryan and Woonsocket, though. Let's take some calls. Go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah, Maz hit it perfectly when he was talking about bringing in Golden Tate. Look, I'd love to bring in Golden Tate, too, but you got to realize then there becomes, you know, do you pay Tate or Edelman? And the discrepancy there is going to be a problem. Now, here's the big thing I want you guys to know. There's this kid, Hakeem Butler, wide receiver out of Iowa State. He's projected to go in the second round. Patriots need to pick him up. This kid has Calvin Johnson, Julio Jones-type potential. Wide receiver out of Iowa State, remember the name, Hakeem Butler.
When we're chucking at draft magazines in a month, we'll be sure to see if we can hit him.
Oh, no, I'm sure that he'll just come in and be an 85-catch, 1,000-yard, 12-touchdown guy, given their history with receivers. And Brady will just let him in the circle of trust, no problem.
Stephen Braintree, hi.
Hey, you guys are getting closer and closer, but you're just not coming to the right conclusion. I've been saying this for years. The whole team is Brady. It always has been. Bill's going to get exposed. And look no further than the 9 Super Bowls the Patriots have been in. How many game-winning or tying drives has he engineered in the fourth quarter? 9 Super Bowls. 9 game-winning or tying drives. The Patriots have just gotten, used to him bailing them out. They give him no receivers. Agreed. They have a shit team. They don't manage it well.
Can't say that. Right. Can't say that. Right. Can't say the word. They don't have a crap team. They have a good team. But Brady makes them a champion.
Yeah.
Brady makes them a champion. So, I think what happens with the Patriots is we fall into, and fans and media fall into, this sort of reverse analysis that is like, well, they won the championship, so everything that they did is now intentional and the formula and the right way to do it. So they won the championship, so the fact that they overspend on special teams is the way to go. They won the championship, so their approach at receiver was the right one and the smart thing to do. They won a championship, so what they're doing now is building around more expensive veterans because they get the defense and that's just the way to do it versus these cheaper rookie contracts. And I think that that's a mistake to turn around and say the championship now not only justifies everything, but now it's a master plan. I mean, again, Phil Perry wrote something like this at NBC Sports Boston, that they have one of the oldest rosters in the league, one of the most expensive middle classes in the league, and it's much worse than it usually is. They have the most number of veterans that make over $1 million in average annual value, that it's clear on their roster that they've gone to more veteran guys making some money versus cheap rookie contracts. And Phil says it's by design. And I think that's a mistake. I think, as usual, Bill Belichick has coached around his personnel mistakes. They would much rather have him. Bedard said it perfectly. You don't think they would have rather have had Duke Dawson last year running around out there for no money? Or who was the other example that he had? Jawan Bentley. And that's sort of a bad one because he got hurt. But it's like, no, you'd always much rather have those guys.
Absolutely, you would.
You'd always much rather have those guys. But now, because the Patriots don't, instead of saying they drafted poorly, we're inclined to say, oh, well, that was the plan all along because they won the championship. I think that's sort of a mistake. You're like sort of analyzing it in reverse.
Yeah, and last year's a dangerous year to sort of pin anything to anyway, because it was really unique in a lot of ways for them.
I mean, I hate to say, they weren't that great last year. They just weren't.
And it came together for them. And listen, good for them. But again, it's not typically how you would do it.
I mean, I just think that's threading the needle to do it that way. But are they making a mistake? Are they being cavalier like the Red Sox with their bullpen? We did it this way last year, so we can do it again. And maybe we'll even double down and get even worse at that spot. Because what the heck? We did it. So we'll always do it. Mike in the car, your thought on Julian Edelman's contract. Go ahead. Hello, Michael.
Hey, does Julian Edelman have an agent? I mean, Adam Humphries, Cordell Patterson. These guys are making double, quadruple the money as the Super Bowl MVP. Who is negotiating for this guy? And why is he still on the team if he doesn't make any money?
Well, no, that's why he's on the team. He doesn't make any money, but he's on the team because he's a great competitor and a champion and a great Patriot, and that's why he's on the team. And he takes the cheese when it comes to the contracts. Perfect.
So I think that's what he's implying is, why does this guy show up in camp when they treat him the way they are?
Because, and look, it's his relationship with Brady more than anything else.
So I would agree, Murray. I'm just telling you that this market, as I watch, and this struck me like everyone all week, when you see the numbers being thrown, Jamison Crowder, whom I like as a player, he's not Julian Edelman. Adam Humphries, whose stock has now shot through the roof, feels like the Patriots are willing to give Adam Humphries, according to some reports, $10 million. Edelman's base next year is $2 million.
The Adam Humphries thing is fascinating.
$2 million.
The Pats outbid the Titans, but Humphries had already agreed to the deal with the Titans and didn't want to go back on it, which is, you know, good for him, the last honest man standing. But where were you? So it sort of feels like you're late to the punch. Like, it, you know, and Jimmy, can you pull up Adam Humphries today from his press conference? I mean, he pretty much acknowledged it.
Yeah.
He pretty much admitted that that's what happened, that the Pats outbid the Titans, but he had already had a handshake with the Titans and he wasn't going to go back on that. Here he is.
It's definitely my understanding. That was, that was something that, you know, I was, you know, weighing the options between both teams. And, you know, it was tough. You know, obviously they have a lot of success with, you know, guys, you know, similar to me. And, you know, obviously, you know, everything I've said to you guys today about why I chose here is true. And I'm excited to work with this team and, you know, hopefully propel them to some wins and a playoff run.
A handshake deal is a handshake deal, but nothing was official until you signed it. You could have changed your mind. Was there temptation? And what was your feeling about that?
Yeah, I mean, when I committed to Tennessee, I was, you know, obviously I'm a man of my word. I'm gonna keep my word there. But, you know, it's tough. It's a big decision. And, you know, it's a decision that, you know, will impact me for the rest of my life. So obviously took a lot of thought into that. You know, having family around me was good. But, you know, once I committed to Tennessee, I was really excited to be a Titan, and still am.
So the frustration there is different than usual. Usually we're sitting here saying they didn't spend enough money. That's typically the one. This one feels like it's just
it was a scramble.
They were late.
Well, so that I find, no matter what it is, I feel like I'm pissed, because either you could have gone to 10 and you didn't and you lost the player, or you were dinking around and showed up late. Like, what, you know, what if you wanted the guy, blow him out of the water. You've got Tom Brady. Here's your money. Let's go. Done. End of story. Like, that irritates the crap out of me when I hear that. Mike Vrabel is loving this. Oh, my God, is he loving this. He probably told Humphries, if they ask you about the Patriots, tell the truth. Tell him. Tell the truth.
He is a ball-busting prick. He would love that. There's no question that is.
Oh, my gosh. Like, again, so if they didn't have the money to do it, like, I'm pissed about that. But then again, if they didn't have it, then why did they ultimately go to 10 if they were willing to go to 10?
You know, they were late because Beach Blanket Bingo Bill was out, you know, partying with his blonde.
So they are going to have to create some room one way or the other. They don't have enough. And the thing I find interesting is that Hightower, McCourty, Gronkowski, all those guys are overpaid. And
cut Adrian Claiborne.
By their standards.
Yeah, right. No. I mean, the team would look at those guys and say they're overpaid. I don't think Gronkowski's overpaid at all. They should pay him every dime. They should give him more. McCourty and Hightower, maybe I would agree with them. McCourty, for sure. But have those players told him to go pound sand? Is there no savings there because they're not going to restructure those guys?
I mean, Hightower already said, reportedly, from, I think it was one of the guys at Nesson reported, said he's like, I'm not going to budge on this. I'm not taking a pay cut.
So are they in the position where they have to even cut those guys just to create some room, whether it's real money or cap money? And I always think it's the real money. But anyway, that was Bedard's point today. We'll continue with this and other items right after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.